Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Thursday, the 3rd of August, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's a Thursday. That means it's a culture Thursday. We talk in culture, but we talk in a sort of different type of culture. This morning, I've got a guest joining me in the Zoom room. And let me tell you what we're talking about this morning. Going straight into this, after the housekeeping, we're going into this headline, AG defends decision on anti-violence bill. Pinder says focus on gender and legislation would be confusing. We're going to get to that in a moment, but let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live reads. Today, Thursday the 3rd, and tomorrow, Friday of August, central bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Solomon's Yamacraw location. Show your Sand Dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show us their Sand Dollar enabled wallet at each location. One top up per person so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-988. Zero. And now on to our on-the-clock Sand Dollar Trivia Giveaway. Every day for the next 2 months, we'll be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every week, players can win up to $300 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number. If you answer the question correctly, you'll be transferred back to the producer to confirm your information, including your user address or custom name, so that I can transfer the funds to your digital wallet. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. You can only win once, and if you are sending your answer in by text, all of your digital wallet information must be included in the one single text message. All of your digital wallet information must be included in the one single text message. So here is our first question for the day. How many consonants are in the English alphabet? How many consonants are in the English alphabet? Number to call, 323-6232. Another number, 325-4316. And then there's 325, farmers but not resident in New Providence, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. Again, the first question of the day, how many consonants in the English alphabet? How many consonants in the English alphabet? Remember, if you're answering by text, you need to include your wallet information in the text to be considered a answer. Thank you very much. Well, joining us this morning is Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas. And today we're talking about the Protection Against Violence Bill and how it came into being. I wanted to talk about the gender-based violence bill, but I imagine it no longer exists. But joining us this morning is Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas, and we're going to be talking about some of the response from some of the women's rights organizations to the tabling of the Protection Against Violence Bill, and the response from the Prime Minister and a number of actors in the sphere to women's rights organizations. Let's see, I got a caller on the line. I think they're calling to answer the trivia. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning, 21 Gontenot.
Good morning. So you confirm your information with the producer?
Yes.
Yeah, there are 21 consonants. Can you list them all?
A.
No?
Okay. B, C, D, F, G, H, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
There you go. Very much. Again, producer, just confirm you got all the information from him? Wallet address, custom name? And you haven't played the game before, right?
No.
I thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. This is awesome. You got the first call, the first trivia question out of the way rather quickly. So let me just throw out the second question right away. Second question for the day. We're only having two questions today. When did the Bahamas ratify the CEDAW Convention? Second question for the Sand Dollar on the Clock trivia giveaway. When did the Bahamas ratify the CEDAW Convention? Again, numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Miss Alicia Wallace.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
I am pushing through.
There you go. There you go. This is all that we can do. So this morning we are talking, well, I would like to talk about the gender-based violence bill and how it became the Protection Against Violence Bill. But, you know, I am also an advocate, not primarily focused on gender and women's rights, but that is a large part of my work. I've been following this. I am also stunned. I really would like to know how the gender-based violence, well, I guess we know how, why the gender-based violence bill became the Protection Against Violence Bill.
I would love to know the real reason that it has devolved in this way. Because what we had originally, what we had in 2016 was an updated version of a gender-based violence bill that was workable. It was something that we were willing to work with. There were a few things that we wanted to see added in. And of course, 7 years later, it needed some updates. But what actually happened was a watering down, a significant downgrade, complete devolution of what was a bill that we were really looking forward to seeing be improved and passed. And now we have a bill that does not even specify the community that was supposed to be the one of focus, the one that is experiencing a very particular type of violence that needs to be addressed in a specific way.
Absolutely. One of the things, the producer, let's go to that call. Let's see if it's one of the trivia winners. But one of the things the Prime Minister said in his statement on the 27th of July, when the Prime Minister said that the opposition to the Protection Against Violence Bill had left him disturbed, right? I note that on the 29th of June, 2023, the Nassau Tribune published an article featuring comments by Senator Barnett Ellis, which clearly expressed dismay and concern about the difference, right, about the Protection Against Violence Bill. If I could read from that quickly, Senator Mike, and this is from the 29th of June, which is a month before the Prime Minister says that he's disturbed that women's groups have waited until the eve of the debate to voice their concern, right? Senator Michael Barnett Ellis claimed that the Davis administration's Protection Against Violence Bill is less than a previously drafted gender-based violence bill. She did not say what had been removed from the bill, which says, quote, for reasons unexplained, this administration has shelved the GBV bill and tabled a new bill to address the issue of domestic violence. I want to stick a pin there, Alicia. I know if I give you a moment to look up the article. I got a caller on the line. I don't want them to wait too long. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
And thanks for showing respect to the callers, although I should have just let you finish talking about that more important.
No, man, don't watch none. You called to answer the trivia question?
No, I ain't done with that yet.
I get you.
I was saying, with this whole thing, listening to Dwight in this morning, right, and playing with the Attorney General, Ryan Pinder, had to say in the Senate, but I was always one of them who say nobody votes for him, and he don't too much make sense as Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of sure, I don't know how to say, if agree or understand, when you talk about that word gender being confusing with people, what I call to say, maybe the lady or your guest could maybe tell us why some are such a, and I believe this may be not just a man thing, but man and woman, we feel so funny, or it's like that's a bad word, a curse word when
Papa,
they use
gender. Let me preempt that.
Be more mature to accept gender, because for us we can say it's like a bad word. Did you guys see in the States where the restaurants are now allowing the dogs, they sit down and drink coffee and drink tea with them and give them treats. I like my dog, though. I think that's still our best friend. But I was wondering if they're getting too far. I don't see it being a problem, but I was wondering if they're getting too far doing that.
But, Papa, don't go, Papa. See, you already gone. I didn't want you to go. I want to preempt that, Alicia, if you give me a moment, right? Here's my thing. I really appreciate what you said, Papa. Like, if people are confused about the word gender, a lot of people just think it's a bad word. I get that. I won't have a whole show on that. But here's the thing. Alicia called a date. She had said that, you know, that they had been working with a bill for 7 years called the Gender-Based Violence Bill, right? Now, advvocates were working on this issue long before that particular bill was presented to advocates. Reasonably say that people have been working on this particular issue for easily 10, 15 years, right? Advocates, 15 years. The government is supposed to be working on this issue for at least a decade, to the point where they created, they enhanced and improved the Bureau of Women's Affairs, ultimately to the Department of Gender and Family Affairs, right? Over a space, this work been going on over a space of about 10 years, easily. They created a whole Department of Gender and Family Affairs. And so I could appreciate, Papa, when you say, hey, look here, the people still uncomfortable with this word. The people still don't understand what y'all talking about. What I'm saying to you, Papa, in this moment, is that it is offensive for the Attorney General to get up and say, focus on gender in the legislation would be confusing. The legislation is gender-based violence. How would focusing on the thing the legislation is intended to deal with be confusing? Don't allow politicians to create narratives that suit their agenda. The government has had over a decade to do the work of preparing the people, right, for their policies. You're telling me that the government has spent millions of dollars creating a Department of Gender and Family Affairs, but is not prepared to use the word gender in legislation or policy because it's too confusing? Well, then let's shut down the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. Let's end all of that work. Let's stop paying people these salaries for doing that work, particularly if it appears as if they're not doing the work. But I want to reemphasize, Papa, that I appreciate the sentiment that people are still unfamiliar with this word. I suggest to you, it is the AG and his colleagues that are derelict in their duty. And that is the reason why they have created a whole department of gender, but still feel that the word gender is too confusing to actually use in their work. I gotta stick a pin. Ms. Wallace, would you like to respond to Papa? I mean, not to Papa, forgive me. I don't want us to respond to Papa in that way. The tone was a little heavy. Papa raised some good points.
You said it. You said it. You made very, very clear points that I agree with. I have been saying for a long time that the government is shirking its responsibility. It is not interested in educating the public. It talks about sensitization, but limits that to police and to healthcare workers who certainly do need to be sensitized and do need an education on gender. But what about the broader populace? What about the general public? These are the people who are attempting to have conversations about very pressing issues, but having them on the basis of anti-rights rhetoric and on the basis of lots of logical fallacies and just misunderstandings of the issues, and a determination, it seems, to block certain groups of people from having access to rights, even if it impedes their own access. And this is a responsibility that the government has to change the way that we think about and understand and participate in this social construct that is gender, something that we made up. There are international mechanisms that the government has signed on to, like the one that you mentioned in the trivia question, the Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, also known as CEDAW. There's an article that speaks directly to this issue. Article 5 says that state parties shall take all appropriate measures to modify the social and cultural patterns of conduct of men and women with a view to achieving the elimination of prejudices and customary and all other practices which are based on the idea of the inferiority or the superiority of either of the sexes or on stereotyped roles for men and women. Very clear, the government has a responsibility to change the way that we think about because they're men and how women are supposed to be because they're women and the limitations that we put on people and the way that we exclude people and discriminate against people and enact violence against people because of their gender. This conversation about the gender-based violence bill that is no more and this nonsense bill that they have put forward is connected to this issue of gender and how we think about the quote-unquote roles that people are supposed to play in society. And this is why we're seeing so much resistance.
Absolutely. I need to stick a pin. I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. Was the trivia question answered yet?
No, it hasn't been answered yet.
I would like to say 2012.
No, that is not the correct answer. The question is, when did the Bahamas ratify the CEDAW Convention? 2012 is not the correct answer. But you are free to call back. You're free to call back and try again. Thank you for calling and trying. Let's get back to it, Ms. Wallace. Can we talk a bit more about some of the changes, some of the other reasons? I mean, I guess we put the main one on. But if I go back to Michael Barnett Ellis in this article, right, she says that the bill is fundamentally changed. It's 42 sections long as opposed to the 55 sections in the original bill. It's also 24 pages long as opposed to the 68 pages of the gender-based violence bill. And the one thing I found in particular was that I didn't find the word gender in the bill, in the Protection Against Violence bill.
They've completely stripped it of its purpose.
And
its
so why
its purpose is gone.
Listen, Ms. Wallace, I get a caller on the line. When I get back from the caller, you know, why wouldn't they just create a separate bill? Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not too well versed in this in this matter exactly, right?
Yeah.
But from following what you guys say, I think the interest or the insecurity of the public, where I feel like I almost agree more with Brave Davis and his statement, is that, like, if a straight guy was to get jumped, right, or beat up from a few fellas, they would never report on the news that a straight gentleman was beat up because of whatever reason, versus a homo, or however, I don't know what the right word is.
A homosexual.
Right? But then when you put gender in there, then I think it opens up a whole, you get this other side or other belief willing to push up on a next belief, which causes a big controversy. And then plus, if I just don't like a guy, he might be a transvestite or he might be whatever, but
mm-hmm.
I don't like him because of something he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about his sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it comes up in the news, it'd be like, if that legislation was passed exactly like that, then it'd be like, a homosexual guy was beat up, and then it'd be like, he was beaten up because of his
sexuality.
Gender base.
Versus a personal conflict. Yeah, versus a personal conflict. Like whether he's gay or trans or not, that boy was rude to me or he owes me money, right?
Yeah.
And so people are concerned that the word gender in and the bill would be used to create hate crimes where they don't exist, essentially.
And plus, yes, ma'am, exactly. And then when, as I think it opens up a gate, or invites, that when they start to do, then it'll be transvest. You know those names you called off before?
Yeah.
I don't know all of them. The trans.
Transsexual,
the transgender,
the transgender, yeah.
This and that and that and this and then. People wouldn't be viewed as humans anymore.
Okay,
because
cool.
Because it's just how you could hurt them.
I appreciate your position, right? But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is for 10 years, the government has been working with women's rights advocates to create a gender-based violence bill, right? Yeah. Why didn't they just create a gender-based violence bill and a protection against violence bill? Because they focus primarily on different, they just create both. Why didn't they say, hey, look here, while we still trying to negotiate the terms of the gender-based violence bill, we're going to move forward with a separate bill to address different forms of violence, right? Because that's fundamentally what we're talking about, right? The gender-based violence bill, the gender-based violence bills would deal specifically with violence that occurs because of your gender. So a man slaps down a woman in the road and says, when you see man talking to you, you respond to them. Woman must learn how to act. That's an act of gender-based violence. Now, two men them that belong to rival gangs or two men them who thiefing weed from each other's territory that end up in conflict and shoot each other, that's not gender-based violence. That's gang violence, right?
That's black on black crime.
That's not black. Man, that's, oh boy, that's so into, that's, ooh. But it's not the same as the man didn't say, I shooting you because you think you is man, but you ain't man. Or I shooting you because you is man, right? And you ain't acting like a man supposed to act.
Okay, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
And then the next week, because I may get cut off, but the next thing, why I think he was put in this position, whereas maybe that was his decision on not making it, say, gender-based or whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like how the populace got offended when he said, I'm going to do jobs for gangbangers or old gang affiliates.
Right, they're going to create an employment program.
And then it's like, okay, so what about the people who have been being here but don't have a job as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's my stand point on it. I don't know.
I feel you. No, man, I feel you. Here's the thing. I just want people to think about it. Why would the government spend millions and millions of dollars over over two decades, right, to construct a Department of Gender and Family Affairs, right? Spent 10 years advocating, hosting meetings, continuous consultations with the church specifically, decades, to then step up and for the AG to look at us and say, yeah, see, this is it. Yeah, why y'all being so ridiculous? Why y'all being so insistent? Why do you have to insist on the word gender-based violence? Don't mind that we've been working for 10, 20 plus years on gender-based violence bill. The bill is fundamentally different. It's like you trying to pull a scam on me. The word gender, you see, we already had the argument that if you call it rape, you won't get any convictions. We already had that argument. If you call it rape, you won't be able to convict people of the crime of rape. So you must call it something different. But that's not what's happening here. This isn't, it is a gender-based violence bill, but we're calling it a protection against violence bill, and we don't understand why you're so upset. This is a fundamentally different bill. It addresses violence in a different way. And let me tell you what the irony of it is before we go to a break, and then I let Ms. Wallace continue. Forgive me, Ms. Wallace. The irony of it is this. The new bill, Protection Against Violence Bill, seeks to address and provide resolution mechanisms for psychological violence. For psychological violence. Psychological violence. But you have the Attorney General making this statement, and then you have Glenys Hannah-Martin and Pia Glover in the House banging on the table talking about, we've been to every town hall meeting and ain't nobody object. It's a completely different bill, but you're trying to convince the women's rights advocates that they making noise about nothing. Because if they were really committed to the work, they would understand what's happening. That is psychological violence. To sit up and think that you could just use words to convince people of an untruth. It is not the same bill.
And they were not at every meeting. That's an outright lie.
Yeah. And so I want to thank you for sort of giving me the space to address the two callers, Alicia, because I don't want the public to get caught up, right? I don't want the state to use the public and their sentiments to attempt to push this through. The state knows that the people are uncomfortable with the word gender. You know why? Because the state has not done the work of introducing the people to the word gender. And I know people are saying that's because they don't want to use the word gender. Well, why did they create a Department of Gender and Family Affairs? Why have they spent millions of dollars outfitting it? Why? If they didn't intend to do gender work.
Yeah, I think it's important to add to that. Yes, they created the department and they've invested some resources into it, but they have also under-resourced the department.
Mm-hmm.
They have made it impossible for the department to do what it was set up to do by under-resourcing it, by not giving it an appropriate budget, by not staffing it with technical experts, by not making it at the highest level, which is what is called for in the United Nations sort of framework for national gender machineries, which this department is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It really ought to be a ministry and not sit under another ministry. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of affairs really should be doing the work of helping people to understand what we mean when we talk about gender and why this is an important topic and why we need to look at disproportionate impacts of laws, of policies, of behaviors, of whatever is going on within our society. They're not doing that work. They're not resourced to do the work. And it's really unclear whether or not the people within that department actually believe in human rights to begin with.
I was about to say, I want to take us back in time to a moment where I would have said publicly that I'm very concerned that the FNM administration would have appointed Lanisha Roll to the Ministry of Social Services, right, given her public pronouncements on gender. And after she made
rape in particular,
and after she made it very clear that she was opposed fundamentally to the tenets of the work under her purview, why they didn't move her immediately, right? I just want to take us back to that point when I said aloud that this is going to be a problem. Because how do you have a minister leading a department that doesn't believe in the work that the department is intended to do? And we see the lack of attention to that perhaps may be at the core of this shifting of focus from gender-based violence to violence generally.
Consistently running away from the issue instead of addressing it and hiding behind the people who are the loudest mm-hmm. and who typically are wrong mm-hmm. and anti-rights people, hiding behind them and saying, oh, well, we need to just change this so that we can just pass it and say we passed it. Check that box. It doesn't really matter if it has the intended effect when we actually pass it.
Absolutely. I've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
And good morning to your guest. You're confusing me because I'm listening to the arguments, right, about the bill not being the correct bill that was tabled in the House over Samuel's passing through the Senate. What I think you need to do in order for the Bahamian people out here, the listening audience, to have a full appreciation of what you're talking about is get the old bill and compare it on the radio with parts of it that was left out with the new bill so we can make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you can have people like me saying that Jesus is smart as Aaron Greenham is. They don't know that gender means male and female.
But sir, pause right there. That's the point. Gender means male and female. I know that. I've been doing this work. The gender-based bill presents a response to violence that is gender neutral, right? We acknowledge that both men and women are subjected to violence because both men and women, right? We acknowledge that. So for a member of parliament to get up and say the gender-based violence bill was not general enough And to imply that it was not general enough because it didn't protect men as well as women is a bold-faced lie.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is confusing all around.
And but the point I'm making is not that gender is not confusing, right? I'm not saying that the sentiments of the Bahamian people are incorrect, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are analyzing a situation caused by an administration that has disregarded both the stakeholders and advocates in the space and the general public and is prepared to use both of them to forward and fulfill their own political agenda. I'm not talking about the validity of the work itself, gender, and how people feel about it. I'm talking about how the government has treated the matter and then turned around and defamed local advocates to push a very poorly constructed agenda. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. That's why I'm saying give us the full gamut of the old bill, the parts that were left out. Well, it's just a new bill, and then we could call it and make a better
absolutely
conclusion. And thank you, my God.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling. And I tell you what the issue has been this week. The issue has been lining up the shows. And what I was trying to do is get Alicia Wallace on in the first say 45 minutes of the show, 35 minutes of the show, and then in the remainder of the show with Mr. Newry, go through both pieces of legislation, hoping to get 2 hours to delve into it, right? But that's been difficult this week with the way that the guests have lined up and the issues have come forward in the newspaper.
I also want to make it clear that we at Equality Bahamas for sure have been working on the gender-based violence bill, right? The one that's been thrown out the window. We've been working on that very consistently. We have had public sessions for people to come and walk through the bill with us and get an understanding of what is in it and what needs to be updated. This protection against violence nonsense is very new. We've had it for maybe about a month. And
that's it, a month.
Yes. The gender-based violence bill is around 65 pages. The protection against violence bill is around 25 pages. It is going to take some time to read through them side by side to see exactly what all of the changes were, and not just the changes in effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a very big change. It could be very small changes in words, but they have a huge difference in the effect that the law will actually have, that the act would have once it's passed and it's in place. So we are working on that. We will be producing a document that very clearly states what one bill said, what the other one says, what are the issues with the changes that have been made, what are the things that have been completely left out, what are the items that have been watered down to the point that they are almost or completely meaningless. This is work, and this is a part of the issue. This is work that takes time. This is not just reading a document and saying, oh, I like it, these are pretty words. It's understanding the meaning. It's reading it alongside existing law, how it interacts with existing law. It's also looking at other policies, the ways that we are already functioning. It's looking at other recommendations that have been made from the strategic plan to address gender-based violence to other plans that I am actually sitting waiting to be made public related to a coordinated care model. So when there is an experience of gender-based violence, how does a person move through the system? Where do they report? Who do they get referred to? Do they have to tell the same story over and over again? Is their information passed on? How do they get access to resources? You have to look at it alongside the realities right now and how those are supposed to change based on the passing of this new law. We also have to look at it in line with international mechanisms. So is this bringing us into compliance with CEDAW? Is this lined up with the Belém do Pará, which is a regional convention that focuses specifically on violence against women? How is it interacting with these other pieces? This is not 1 month of work. It is not 2 months of work. When we looked at it with the gender-based violence bill, it was months and months and months of doing this research, making these connections, and importantly, the step that so many people skip, so many organizations and many administrations that we've seen skipped, engaging directly with affected people, the people who are impacted by this very specific type of violence, and having a conversation about what their needs are and whether or not their needs would be met, would they be left worse off or better off by the passing of this bill. This is a long process. We've been having this conversation for about a week, not quite 2 weeks yet. Why are we having it in this way? Why does it feel disjointed? Why does it feel like there's so much that the public has to catch up on? Mm-hmm. Because the government did this. They decided that without any consultation, they were going to push through a garbage bill that nobody had seen. That's why we're here. It's not Equality Bahamas. It's not Aaron Green that put us here. It's the government that decided that it was going to lock us out of this process and it was going to laugh in our faces. And they were going to have people point fingers and say that we weren't doing the work when it was them. They decided that they were going to try to dupe us and they were going to try to silence us and make us feel ashamed of work that we haven't done when we were not given the opportunity and we were not given the tools to do it.
Absolutely. And listen, I want to make a point. I've got a lot of texts. Texters, I can be honest with you. I feel a way about reading your texts this morning. Many of my colleagues would tell me, Aaron, you just don't read them type of texts. And guess what? I can read it anyway. I need you all to hear this. Good morning, Ms. Green. I am against any form of violence against anybody, especially girls and women. For some reason, I'm not getting sold over by your guests because something just smells fishy. The messenger to me never was assaulted, abused, married, or etc., but is advocating. I also understand her fight. It also seems like she's fighting with the government on her agenda instead of trying to work with them, and it will be a losing battle to me. Dear Texter, I just want to say to you How do you know who is abused and who isn't abused? You tell me, how do you know? How do you know? A. B. Does someone have to be abused to stand up for abused people? So that means the people who are advocating against marital rape are all people who rape their spouses? Or their voices aren't valid? That's why my colleagues tell me. So if you wondering sometimes why I didn't read your text, I got another one I want to read. Can't please you liberal feminists, bunch of beta males and females. Let me tell you all something about pleasing people. See why the Attorney General's statement is so offensive is because the Attorney General would have been a part of the PLP administration that launched the gender equality referendum. Pinder says focus on gender and legislation would be confusing. The process for the gender equality referendum 2016 began in 2013. 10 years earlier, we had the same discussion. 10 years earlier. I'm not here today to suggest that you are wrong because you, or there's something wrong with you because you're confused by the word gender, or you think that there is a hidden agenda behind the word gender. I'm here today to say, do not allow politicians to confuse you. Because the bill that it was presented and that the Prime Minister decries his disappointment. He would wait so late to object. Ms. Wallace, how...
I want to talk about that a little bit.
Go
this
on.
Idea that, you know, women's rights organizations, feminists are working against the government. That really would not work very well in our favor. We have tried, we continue to try to engage with government, with particular departments and ministries. And for various reasons, it does not move us forward in the way that you might expect that it would. So I'll give you a few examples. On April 16th, NGOs received an invitation to a meeting with the minister to be held on April 18th. Okay, the 16th, an invitation to meet on the 18th. On the 17th, the meeting was postponed. We've got no new date. And I will note here that the 17th is the day that headline news said that an MP was accused of rape. So you decided to postpone a meeting to talk about a gender-based violence bill on the day that it's reported that a member of your parliament is accused of gender-based violence, sexual violence, in fact, rape, in fact. The appropriate action was to postpone the meeting. April 20th was the notification that the meeting was scheduled to April 25th. Not much better in terms of notice. People have work. People have lives. There are so many meetings happening all the time. 5 days to arrange to be at that meeting. This is a consistent for years. July 3rd, an invitation to attend a meeting on July 5th. You need to understand how the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development, how the Department of Gender and Family Affairs are engaging NGOs.
And
you need to understand the timeline that we're working with. And then for the Prime Minister to get up and talk about what he is, what was the word?
Disturbed.
We have so many reasons to be disturbed. We are disturbed that the marital rape bill has still not been passed. We are disturbed by that the minister continues to say that he needs to be meeting with religious leaders.
Oh, listen, would you like a quote? Can I read a quote? That surprises me. Okay, Wilchcombe said he received no feedback from Fernanda, referencing Delton Fernanda, head of the Bahamas Christian Council, since sending that letter and the bill in May. Asked to respond to Fernanda's comments yesterday, he said, "That surprises me because Bishop Fernanda and I have had communications in the past, and I think he knows that we want to ensure that we're having an open dialogue at all times. So, yes, that does surprise me." quote, we're trying to build a country, you know, and some bills require a lot of consultations. I've been criticized for the consultations. I've been criticized for talking to the church. And I've been criticized where some say I talk to the church too much. Why you keep going to the church? Well, I do that because the church has always been a part of our development. And you can't. I don't believe progress without having consultations with the church and others. Stick a pin. Compared the consultation with the church, can you give us a sense of what percentage, right, of what the ratio looks like? How much time the government would have spent consulting with women's rights and advocacy stakeholders?
There appears to be a huge gap. It seems like 90% of the time is spent trying to convince the church that, you know, women are people, we all have human rights, no one should experience violence, there's no excuse for violence, or listening to the church try to convince it, rather,
right,
that women actually aren't people, especially if they get married. And there are circumstances under which we, as religious leaders, believe that rape is appropriate,
yeah,
and excusable. That's what's happening. And this consultation, the word consultation is being thrown around quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That consultation is not what is happening. So what has been referred to as consultation on this protection against violence nonsense,
mm-hmm,
was a meeting where there was a presentation that was made for the vast majority of the meeting. And then some questions and comments from people who've never seen the bill because it was not sent before the meeting.
Yeah.
How do you
invite me to a meeting to give my feedback on a bill, but I don't get to see the bill until I get to the meeting? You don't really
say that
want...
You're disturbed that you didn't hear until the last minute that people are not in support of the bill.
And
you did not let them see at the time of the meeting.
Did you tell them when you were going to table the bill? Perhaps they responded as soon as they became aware that the bill was being tabled. And so the point of this conversation, though, is not to say to Bahamians, well, if you agree with the prime minister, that you're ignorant or you're stupid. It's to point out what has actually happened in the light of state actors defaming, in the light of state actors defaming members of the women's community. And this moment in solidarity with our sisters, our sistren in Guyana at Red Thread, who are facing death threats because they dare to question their own government.
Yeah.
And so we have this conversation today to preempt that, because already people are calling in and not just my show, it's on the social media, and expressing, like, I don't understand what's happening, but if I have to act, I'm going to act with the government. And, and expressing this very combative energy for something that they don't understand. Right? And so take this time to just say this. This conversation is not about how you feel about the word gender or gender-based violence. It's to say that this is not the way that we work in a democratic country. This is not the way that we create laws and policies. This is what happens in a dictatorship where you pretend like you're a democracy and you spend money on the illusion of freedom. But at the end of the day, y'all people on the plantation are subject to whatever we say goes. Ms. Wallace?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. We're all out of time. We got to lead into closing out the show. Equality Bahamas has an event taking place this weekend?
We do. On Sunday, we have the continuation of our CEDAW Convention Speaker Series. In this session, we'll be joined by Ruth Kadari, who's a former member of the CEDAW Committee, walking us through Article 15 on law and Article 16 on marriage and family. So this will be a really interesting session. So what is happening here in the Bahamas and what we're advocating for at Equality Bahamas. You can register at tiny.cc/CEDAW15.
All right.
It's tiny.cc/CEDAW15. You can go to the Equality Bahamas Facebook page or Instagram for more information at Equality242.
And it's taking place on Sunday morning this weekend, not Saturday morning, right? Absolutely.
Usually it's Saturday, but this time it's Sunday.
Listen, as I look at the headline, as I look at the main page of The Guardian this morning, and I look upon my colleagues and people who don't realize that we're colleagues, I want to say to you guys, y'all ain't been but in the wilderness for 2 minutes. You ain't been in the wilderness for 2 minutes and already you turn back for water. You guys, have a wonderful day. Guardian Radio AM and CA Newry is up next. Ms. Wallace, thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.